Thank you for coming. Today I was asked to speak something about Srila Prabhupada, and because I have a plane to catch, and I don't want to miss the plane, so this will be an extremely short class. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yoga yukta vishudatma vijitatma vichitendriyaha sarva bhutatma bhutatma korvanatni lalipyate. Now, one who works in devotion, who is a pure soul, who controls his mind and senses, is dear to everyone, and everyone is dear to him. Though always working, such a person is never entangled. The descriptions of a self-realized pure devotee are the descriptions of Srila Prabhupada. In other words, he was the actual instrument for Krishna to specifically fulfill the mission of Lord Chaitanya, which means that whoever Prabhupada met, he tried to help them become Krishna conscious. As Prabhupada said, becoming guru is not difficult. Simply whoever we meet, we have to help them become Krishna conscious. Of course, we have to have some taste for Krishna consciousness in order to do that. We have to have some love for Krishna. One time, Tripurari Maharaj asked Prabhupada that if we go and distribute books, will that help us develop love for Krishna? And Prabhupada's reply was, because you love Krishna, therefore you're distributing the books. Of course, we may not be that much conscious of Krishna, but Prabhupada was an inspiration, not only because he was expert in so many different ways, but also because he was completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. As Maharaj Yudhisthira told Vidura, when he came back after pilgrimage, Bhavan vidas bhagavatas tirta bhutak swayam vibho tirta kurvanti tirtani swantak stena katabhritaha. That saints like yourself, they're verily holy places of pilgrimage, because wherever you go, you turn that place into a place of pilgrimage, because you carry the Supreme Lord within your heart. So that was my experience with Srila Prabhupada. The first time I heard about Srila Prabhupada was in 1965. There was an article in the East Village Other, which I happened to read. I didn't take it very seriously. And it wasn't until the beginning of 1968 that I came in contact with some devotees. Some of my friends who were living in the same apartment that my parents were living in, they were living at 26 Second Avenue. So when I went home to visit my parents, I saw my friends, and they told me they were living at 26 Second Avenue. And I asked them, what were you doing there? So they said, we get up around 5 o'clock in the morning, we dance. So I thought they'd become moon worshippers. And then when my friends taught me the Maha Mantra at the beginning, 1968, but it wasn't until sometime in one of my friends, who became later his initiated as Jagadish, and he was in a Maharaj at one time, he told me about, because I had some spiritual realization in May that year, and I had become a vegetarian and did yoga and astrology, and so I was looking for a Buddhist monastery. Although I was a student at the university, I figured, well, I might as well go to some kind of Buddhist monastery at the same time. So he said, no, there's no Buddhist monastery around here, but they did happen to open a temple, and it's a couple of blocks from the university. So I went there with him one time, and they were doing something called, they were chanting, and I was doing yoga. So I said, how could this be very practical, just chanting something? But in any case, after some time, I started to chant also, and my roommates started to chant, and we were going down to the temple regularly. And then I was initiated at the beginning of 1969. Prabhupada sent a letter, because I sent my beads and asking for initiation. And Prabhupada received my beads and my letter, and he said to one of the devotees, who was his servant, Dayananda, And he said, this boy has sent me the beads, but there's no recommendation. How can I give him initiation? It wasn't Dayananda. I forget his name. It was Prabhupada's servant at that time. So the devotee said, well, Prabhupada, I just talked to him on the telephone, and he seems like he's a nice boy. So Prabhupada said, so you give him recommendation? So the devotee said, well, I don't really know him, but he did seem like nice. And Prabhupada said, if you think he's nice, then I'll give him initiation. It was a little easier to get an initiation back then. So then we were living in a little, actually it was a railroad shack, and my beads came, and at that time I was reading a Back to Godhead magazine, and it was all about Prahlad Maharaj, and I thought, well, this would be nice to have a name like Prahlad. So then I got the letter and it opened up, and he said, Dear Prahladananda, you know, please accept my blessings, you know, with this mantra. I'm giving you, you're right, we're all conditioned souls trapped by the illusion, but with this chanting Hare Krishna, you can become free. Please take assistance from your God brothers there. You know, I hope this meets you in good health. So then I got my initiation letter. But the first time I met Prabhupada personally was also in 1969. Prabhupada came to the University of Buffalo. I believe it was probably around March of 69. And he stayed there for a little, I think around a week. So then I had a chance to spend sometimes the whole morning with him, sometimes the afternoon also. Although as a student, I went to school in the afternoon because that's, you know, my classes are in the afternoon. So I'd just sit there in the morning and Prabhupada would talk to sometimes another devotee myself for some hours. I remember one time I was trying to see Prabhupada's effulgence because I was into what I thought was mystic yoga. And Prabhupada just stopped and said, he looked at me and said, our process is not mystic yoga, it's bhakti. So that was my last attempt at mystic yoga. And Prabhupada, every once in a while, he'd stop and he'd pick up his beads. And he would start chanting Hare Krishna. He said, if you have any spare time, then chant Hare Krishna. So I remember that quite well. And after being there for some time, I realized that whatever books we had at that time, the only books we had was Srila Prabhupada's original three Srimad Bhagavatams, the first canto, which was a little difficult to read. First time I walked into the class in 1968, in the summer of 68, they were reading, first thing I heard was Asatthama had just thrown a Brahmastra and the whole world was about to be destroyed. So I thought, wow, this is pretty unusual philosophy. So we had those three books and Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, little blue Bhagavad Gita had just come out. And that's all we knew. But whatever I heard Prabhupada speaking during that whole time was what he had said in his books. Miss Dr. Lau, who had invited Rupanuga, my temple president, to come to Buffalo, he was speaking to Prabhupada one time and I was sitting there. And Prabhupada was trying to convince Dr. Lau, who was an impersonalist, that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he said, if you want to know who your mother is, who your father is, you have to ask your mother. So if you want to know who your Supreme Father is, you have to ask the Vedas. And they say that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Mr. Lau couldn't understand it. So Prabhupada, I thought, well, he'd probably try in another angle. But no, Prabhupada said, if you want to know who your mother is, who your father is, then you have to ask your mother. And the Vedas say, Krishna is your father. Still, Dr. Lau couldn't understand. So I was thinking, wow, he's pretty dull. But in any case, I thought Prabhupada would probably say something else. But no, Prabhupada said again, he said, if you want to know who your father is, you have to ask your mother. So if you want to know, the Vedas say Krishna is your supreme father. And still Dr. Lau couldn't understand what Prabhupada was talking about. So then Prabhupada said, he called, rang the bell, and Purushottam came and said, let's bring some prasad. And Dr. Lal said, Swamiji, he said, I wrote one article for the Back to Godhead, and it hasn't been published. So then Prabhupada told Purushottam. He said, well, write to Back to Godhead and tell him that this man's article has never been published. So obviously it was never published, because you can imagine it wasn't exactly a devotional article. So Prabhupada was, whatever I read in Prabhupada's books, when I was with Prabhupada, then, and later on, in 1969, at the end for Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's disappearance day, we were coming to our temple, first went to Buffalo. From Buffalo, we went to New York City, and we did Harinam there. And then from there, we went to Boston to see Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada came to the airport, but some of us, including myself, we stayed in the temple and we were doing bhajan. And then I was looking at, they had a painting, which they still have in Buffalo, in Boston, of Lord Chaitanya with his Sankirtan party, and his arms are outstretched, and it's the Sankirtan party is behind him. So I was seeing that, I was watching the painting, and suddenly the painting became effulgent, it was lit up. So I said, what's going on? And then Prabhupada slowly came up the stairs like he was floating, and the whole room became Vaikuntha. And Prabhupada sat on the Vyasasan, and everyone was in Vaikuntha, not just myself, but the whole room was completely transcendental. And Prabhupada sat on the Vyasasan, and he looked at me, and I could see immediately, he could see who I actually am as a spiritual being. And then Prabhupada talked about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada for the whole lecture. I never heard the lecture again. I don't think it was recorded. Although there was a lecture in 68 that Prabhupada gave in Los Angeles on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada's disappearance, and it's labeled as 69, but actually it's 68. In any case, then Prabhupada, after the lecture, and I remember we were all crowding around Prabhupada during the arti, the Kiva Jaya prayers, and Prabhupada kept on telling us to go see the deities. He didn't like that. Well, I don't know if he didn't like, but he wanted us to go see the deities rather than crowd around him. Then Prabhupada went downstairs, and Vaikuntha also went with him. Then I was back in my normal material consciousness. So that I noticed, because I saw Prabhupada not only there, but I saw him many times in New Vrindavan. Every time he came to Dallas, Texas, and Los Angeles every year, I saw him in San Francisco every year. I saw him in Vrindavan and Mayapur many times, in Chicago, in different places. But, I mean, sometimes everything depended upon Krishna's mercy and my consciousness, but I could understand that Prabhupada was not in this world. I remember one time I asked Prabhupada, because Prabhupada had a very special, not a special, but he reciprocated with me in a way that I didn't even know about myself until he reciprocated with me. Because every time I ever asked Prabhupada a question, Prabhupada would always give me a very sarcastic answer. Like one time I asked Prabhupada, I said, Prabhupada, should I control my desire to eat prasadam? And Prabhupada looked at me and started to laugh. And said, no, no. He said, you can eat as much as you want, but don't fill yourself up to here. Another time I asked Prabhupada, I said, Prabhupada, if Krishna wants me to do something and Krishna doesn't want me to do something, how do I know what Krishna wants me to do? And Prabhupada looked at me and started to laugh. I said, oh, he said, you won't know what to do. He said, you'll do the wrong thing. And then everyone else started to laugh too, and then Prabhupada gave me the most compassionate look to make sure that I wasn't upset. Another time I was with Satsarupa Maharaj, we were in Dallas, Texas, and we were sitting with Prabhupada, and I was a temple president at that time of Austin, Texas. So at that time, Satsarupa Maharaj was more or less telling Prabhupada about the different devotees in the temple, and sometimes it wasn't so praised. He wasn't praising the devotees so much. So Prabhupada actually stopped him and said, devotee means first class. if they're devotees, then they're first class. And that ended the analysis of the devotees in the temple. During that time, one time I was with Prabhupada in Dallas, and there was one tree in the courtyard. It was cut down. And when Prabhupada heard about the fact that they cut the tree down, he became very upset. And so I just said, how can you have cut the tree down? And at that time, Prabhupada was installing Radha Kalachandri in Dallas, and one of the Madhujis, I believe it was Rukmini Devi Dasi, she stripped the paint off the deities in order to repaint them. But then they put on this paint that took a long time to dry. And Prabhupada called her and said, what have you done? Why have you done this? Yeah, I'm here to install the deities, and now you put on this paint, and we can't install the deities because they're all wet. Who told you to do this? So Rukmini said, Bhadraj told me. So Bhadraj, who's Bhadraj? He said, I'm right here. Why don't you ask me? And Rukmini ran out of the room crying. So this idea that Prabhupada was, you know, all roses, it didn't work like that all the time. Although I personally never saw, the only time I ever saw Prabhupada chastise anyone was one boy, Bhadra Balara, I forget his name now, it was a little boy, Balabhadra is his name. And he was talking during Prabhupada's class. It was very small, you know, there was only like five or six devotees in the temple at that time. And some devotees had come from Montreal to get initiated. But Prabhupada put up his hand and, you know, chastised him in the class very mildly. So that was the only time I really saw Prabhupada chastise anyone. When Prabhupada was giving me Gayatri Mantra, he hit me on the head because he thought I wasn't paying attention. That was the only time I got the touch of his lotus hand. And I remember one time I was in New Vrindavan, and the only mahas that came down, because I think the servants took all the maha, was salt. So I thought, well, it's maha. It was Prabhupada used to have salt. So I ate all the salt. So that was quite, I drank a lot of water after that also. One time Prabhupada was coming to Dallas, and I was all the way in the back. I was actually in the front of the line waiting to greet Prabhupada because I was the temple president, so I thought I should be in the front. But then one of my devotees in my temple said they needed Back to Godhead magazines, and I was carrying all of them. So I had to go all the way to the back of the line. So I thought, wow, my God, I'm standing here waiting for Prabhupada. And now I'm all the way in the back. And then someone handed me an umbrella to walk with Prabhupada with the umbrella. So then I had a chance to walk with Prabhupada through the airport with umbrella, carrying the umbrella over his head. And the most amazing thing is that although I was like 20 years old, and Prabhupada was, I guess he was in his 70s, Prabhupada was like floating, and I was running to keep up with him. He was definitely, first time I saw Prabhupada coming through the airport, I was always trying to remember to pay obeisances, and then I saw Prabhupada, and he looked like he was floating the first time I saw him. So I was so amazed that I forgot to pay obeisances. So then finally I remembered to pay obeisances, and Prabhupada passed by, and all the devotees passed by, and then Brahmananda came by, and he tapped me on the shoulder and said, you have to wait here for Prabhupada's luggage. I said, what? I've been waiting, you know, to see Prabhupada. Now you're telling me I got to stay here? So Brahmananda was quite a big devotee at that time in many ways. So he said, you're waiting here. So I said, all right. And then I waited there. I got the luggage, and then we brought it. And when I was bringing it, I was walking down. Prabhupada was walking up the stairs at that time. He had got there later. And I was walking down the stairs. And then I was asking Brahmananda when I could see Prabhupada. Anyhow, it wasn't so difficult, actually. but I was very anxious to see him. So then when I saw Prabhupada, I walked in. The first thing Prabhupada asked me is, so how do you like my deities? So I couldn't see. I didn't have glass. I used glasses at that time. So I was trying to see his deities. And I figured they must be nice. That was one of my pastimes with Prabhupada. Oh, they're very nice, Prabhupada. Although, and then Purushottam actually brought in the plate. And then Prabhupada looked at the plate and said, it's not clean, go and wash it. I was ahead. As soon as I joined the temple in Buffalo, and as soon as I moved into the temple, Burjan Prabhu, who had just gone with Toshan Krishna to open a temple in North Carolina, I got his services. Namely, I became the head pujari, and I became the treasurer. So as the head pujari, I wasn't sure there was Lord Jagannath, Lord Baladev, and Shrimati Subhadra Devi. So I wasn't so sure who they were, because they didn't look like Krishna to me. So I asked Burjan, and I said, who are they? Because they were on a bookshelf, and then when I first came, and Burjan was the pujari, we just offered incense, that's all we knew how to do. And bells, it was called bells, we offered bells, and rang the bell and offered incense. So I don't know, maybe he knew, but maybe he was being sarcastic. He said, I don't know either who they are. So then I learned how to keep the plates clean, wherever you put the incense. And then I asked Prabhupada during that stay, when he was there, I said, who are these deities, Lord Jagannath? So he said, he's Krishna. Oh, that's good. I thought, I'm worshiping Krishna. And then Prabhupada was just about to say, you know, about Lord Jagannath. He said they have this big Rath Yatra festival every year. And he described the Rath Yatra festival, because we didn't know anything back then. And then he said, but you don't have to, and then he stopped, and I could see he was talking with Krishna, and he said, that's all right. He was about to tell me, you don't have to worry about that. But he stopped, and I was quite surprised. And then I was even more surprised, because later that year, we actually had Rath Yatra in Buffalo. So that was, probably was quite extraordinary, and there's much more to say, but I don't want to miss my plane. So thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Shri Panchatattva ki jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. Shri Shri Radha Damodara ki jai. Gaur Premanande Haribol.